informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. As the House today takes up President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan, the debate over the bill is increasingly focused not just on the amount of money, but also who will get it. Of the $4 billion a month already being spent in Iraq, as much as a third is already going to private contractors. As many as 1 in 10 Americans deployed in Iraq and Kuwait, perhaps 20,000, are contractors, a group larger than any of the military forces. Members of Congress are worried that their oversight will diminish, cost controls will weaken, and decisions about security, training, and the shape of the new Iraqi government will be in the hands of people with financial stakes in the outcome. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy. A day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy, but that tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraqi Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. The FBI's chief point man in the campaign against terrorism is leaving to join a Las Vegas gambling empire less than 3 months after becoming the third-ranking official at the Bureau. Larry Mefford, head of the FBI's counterterrorism and counterintelligence operation, becomes the third person to leave that post in the last 14 months. No immediate successor was named. Mefford is retiring at the end of October after 24 years and will return to Nevada to assist Steve Wynn, the Las Vegas gambling magnate, in security and other operations. A federal corruption investigation was inadvertently exposed this week when a listening device was discovered in the City Hall office of Philadelphia Mayor John Street. The bug was found Tuesday during a sweep of Street's office by police, which is performed routinely every few months. Federal law enforcement sources said the office was bugged as part of an FBI anti-corruption investigation, but refused to elaborate further.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A British museum is facing a battle with the government over its plan to import a collection of handguns once owned by Elvis Presley. The museum wants to display the guns, but it has to prove it is complying with Britain's tough firearm laws. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol, but not anymore, because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquigels. Advil Liquigels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquigels, 15 minutes faster.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called Hide the Pay Raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost of living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Fantila is
right,
like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome, greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way, from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations all over the United States, broadcasting also from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, the satellite radio system, Stream 145, and on the Internet, radiopower.org, one of our favorites, IEAmericaRadio.com. This network has their own stream, Live365.com, one of the commercial websites out there that is doing web radio, and, of course, archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find all of those things at our website, TomHartman.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com. Also, links to our chat room, which is already full of folks having interesting conversations about all sorts of strange things. I'll leave that up to your imagination. You really ought to check it out. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. We're broadcasting here live for 3 hours from the People's Republic of Vermont. As the failed conservative fantasies of Pax Americana and corporatization of our government and military go down in flames, are they going to take American democracy with them? There are so many holes showing up in this bizarre Randian, as in Ayn Rand, Randian fantasy. You see, there, on Fresh Air a couple days ago, there was this interview with Grover Norquist and Terry Gross. And he went through this whole thing about, we is not the government. I mean, these people have not read the Constitution. They haven't read the Declaration of Independence. They're not familiar with the history of the United States of America. They think the government is some them. Like Ayn Rand, who grew up in Bolshevik Russia. Her father lost his business during the Bolshevik Revolution. She was educated about democracy in Soviet schools and then came over here and essentially became the intellectual midwife of the modern conservative movement. And they're just clueless. And it's an absolute tragedy, and it's a very dangerous thing. I want to get into that in this hour, is the failed conservative fantasies of Pax Americana, you know, like Pax Romania, peace throughout the world by virtue of our power and our being the police for the world, and corporatization of our government that is handing over the commons, those things that are we the people, including the commons of our military, and of our government employees. You know, this administration. In their mind, anyway, I think destroying the union, I think that this is one of their plans, is to destroy that union. Anyhow, in the news, they're back. This from yesterday's Wall Street Journal. Media resume use of exit polls to project winners. After embarrassing misfires in predicting election results in 2000 and 2002, the Associated Press and five major television networks disbanded the voter news. Remember this? In 2002, the first year that we had these voting machines, electronic voting machines, in Georgia, for example, where they didn't even produce a receipt. There's no paper trail. There's no way of knowing what actually happened. We've had people call into the show. One of the producers of this show crashed seven of the machines in a row in his precinct trying to write in a candidate. And what happened to all the people who had voted on those machines before that when they had to reboot them? I mean, these are machines running Windows operating systems in many cases. And exit polls are used in third world countries to guarantee the accuracy of elections. And the exit polls in 2002 suddenly went screwy. In 2000, they were rough. They were not consistent with the results that the voting machines were recording. And in 2002, they were absolutely inconsistent, so much so that they didn't even release the results to the public. They thought, apparently, I mean, this is the story of the exit polling industry, they thought that they had experienced a computer failure. I tend to suspect, rather, that the computers that were recording the votes. I mean, we know of the many examples in Florida where people tried to vote for Jeb Bush's opponent, the Democrat, pushed the button, and it recorded the vote as a vote for the Republican. The exact same thing happened repeatedly in Texas. And they said it's misaligned touch screens. See, there's the list of candidates on the screen, and then there's the template for it. And they said it got misaligned. The Republicans were always at the top, and so when the screen kind of got misaligned, then no matter who you voted for, you ended up voting for the Republican. Very interesting. Some of the early reports are coming in, by the way, about the voting machines in California. We'll get into that a little later. But it looks like you can organize something, particularly, 135 candidates on a touchscreen voting machine. You can organize things in a lot of different ways. It's like with polls. It's not so much what people really think. It's how you ask the question. And there are a lot of people now saying that the way that the voting machines were set up in California, many people assumed or believed, based on the way the screen was laid out, that if they wanted to vote for a secondary candidate, say they wanted to vote for Cruz Bustamante in case the recall went through, that they had to push yes on a previous screen, meaning that they were voting yes for the recall, even though in some cases they didn't realize they were voting yes for the recall. It'd be interesting to see how this shakes out. This stuff is going to be coming out. And maybe it's a tempest in a teapot. Maybe they worked just beautifully. Maybe we have a meltdown. Who knows? I doubt it's going to be anything like the Georgia disaster, the Rob Georgia one, where Max Cleland, in my opinion, was denied his Senate seat inappropriately. This Wall Street Journal article, we have two reasons, they say. There are two reasons why. Oh, the voter news service, their technology broke down on Election Day 2002. Yes, quite. And they say that, you know, we need them for two reasons. One, they provide the only comprehensive, contemporaneous means of gathering information on who showed up to vote and why. And secondly, their overall track record of informing public election night news accounts remains strong despite recent high-profile glitches. last November's election night meltdown, the Wall Street Journal says in this article by John Harwood, media resume use of exit polls to predict winners. Last November's election night meltdown, participants say, was principally a computer systems failure. Yes. Our quote for the day from Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, Chicago Archdiocese, about what our second hour's topic is going to be about. He said, healthcare is an essential safeguard of human life and dignity, and there is an obligation for society to ensure that every person be able to realize this right. In our second hour, we're going to ask, how long will corporate profiteers prevent all Americans from having full access to health care? And in our third hour, what is the future of the American economy and what can we do about it? We have a guest, Andrew Gage, and we're going to talk with him about that in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. But what's going on with this administration? It seems that the Bush administration is starting to come apart at the seams. They launched yesterday, officially launched. You remember back, I think it was Andrew Card, back in September, in August of, what was it, 2002, somebody was talking about going to war in Iraq, and they said, you know, are you guys announcing a war in Iraq? And he said, no, you don't roll a product out in August. You wait until September. And in fact, they did. It was the September rollout for the October surprise to throw the November 2002 elections. And they were very successful at this. And so now they've launched this new PR campaign. And the question seems to be, is Rumsfeld, this is the Guardian, for example, today's paper, Rumsfeld seems odd man out in Iraq plan. These reporters were asking Rumsfeld, hey, you know, we understand, according to the New York Times story, which it turns out had been fed to them by Condoleezza Rice. See, she's learning how to play the game. She's been blindsided a few times herself here by Rumsfeld and company and these other neocons. She feeds this story that she's now in charge of Iraq, and Rummy thinks he's in charge of Iraq, and, you know, he's this famously cantankerous guy, and they say, well, what do you think about, you know, her being in charge? And he's going, I don't know anything about that. And they say, well, you know, what about, you know, give us some details. And he says, and I quote, I said I don't know. Isn't that clear? You don't understand English? Poor Rummy. It's really melting down, and the situation in Iraq is getting strange and dangerous. Very strange and very dangerous. We have, you know, here a couple of days ago, this was 9/20/03, last month, Tom DeLay, you know, Ted Kennedy, said we're bribing other countries to provide us with troops for Iraq. And Tom DeLay blasted Ted Kennedy for saying this, saying, you know, accusing the U.S. of bribing other countries is a new low. I mean, it's just all this conservative, righteous indignation. And now, according to the Interpress News Service, Turkey will send 10,000 peacekeeping troops to Iraq in the face of strong public opposition to the move. The move came after the United States agreed to an $8.5 billion loan to Turkey. Now, let's see, $8.5 billion to 10,000 is the same as $850 million to 1,000, or $85 million to 100, or $8 million to 10, or $850,000 per soldier. Is that right? Am I doing three-quarters of $1 million per soldier we paid the Turks to send soldiers into Iraq. And guess what? The Iraqis are scared to death of this. Because the Turks, I mean, that's the Ottoman Empire, right up until the 1920s, as I recall, 1910, 1920, somewhere in that era was the end of the Ottoman Empire. I mean, for hundreds of years, they were the ones who had dominated and ruled that area. The Kurds are scared to death of them. In particular, there's a large Kurdish minority in northern Turkey that's oppressed. And the Kurds are saying, don't let them in the north, don't let them in our area. And everybody else is saying, what? It's the Ottoman Empire coming back? The Turks? The Sunnis are upset. The Shiites are upset. And we just paid $8.5 billion for it. I mean, you know, more than we spend on the federal level on education, as I recall. I mean, it's just an enormous amount of money. Three quarters of $1 million per soldier, and those ungrateful Iraqis say, no, we don't want them. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at Toyota.com/owners.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman, the True People's Radio. Welcome back. You know, one of the interesting things about this shift in power from Rummy to Condi is that a lot, what it's going to do is it's going to put a lot more power in the hands of Elliot Abrams, who's the senior director of the National Security Council.
And this is a guy who pled guilty in 1991 to the felony of lying to Congress over the Iran-Contra scandal and was subsequently pardoned by George Bush Sr. So now we have most or much of the power over the Iraq situation in the hands of... Oh, it gets stranger and stranger. 1-800-TALK, yes, and I got some interesting quotes, some clips here from George W. in just a second. And we're going to get more and more into the whole conservative fantasy of this thing and how this is playing out and what it's doing to this country and to the world. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Kodak, driving through Ohio, is on the line. Kodak, welcome.
Welcome to all, one and all, in the free America. As we
yes,
know
indeed.
It. I called in regard to your statement about the fresh air very first interview. It was
the one with Grover Norquist, yeah.
It was
as opposed to the one with Bill O'Reilly, where he stopped off the.
Yes.
He had his tantrum.
I pulled over now. Yes. Halfway through, I just could not listen anymore. It was revolting.
Was this the Grover Norquist one? You mean?
Yes. And, you know, Terry is a very accomplished, very well-researched interviewer. And she really could not pin him down on the points in which I feel she had outlined that she wanted to cover. Because he just kept on spearing this rhetoric that, and he wouldn't acknowledge her question, and for one thing.
Well, the problem, and we ought to set this up for our listeners who may not have heard the program, is that she was saying things like, actually, I've got a transcript of it here. She was saying things like, now that the Bush tax cuts would cost us about $1.1 trillion over the same time the president wants, you know, do you think we're in a tough spot? And he says, well, there's a very interesting use of the word we. Every time you use the word we, you mean the government. And I tend to think the word we to mean the American people, and to speak of the government as the government.
Right.
And see, what he's saying is he's expressing this religion, this conservative religion, that the government in the United States, I mean, this is what's unique about the United States. It's very true that in Zimbabwe, the government is not the people. It's very true that in Saudi Arabia, the government is not the people. But in the United States, I mean, that's the whole idea of American democracy, is that our government is we the people. And he adheres to this religion. And it's this false religion that says that the government is not the people. And therefore, whenever Terry Gross asked him a question that had to do with, you know, us making decisions through our elected representatives in a constitutionally limited democratic republic, his answer was gibberish, because they were speaking they were literally using two different languages, even though they were both speaking English.
Yes, it was. And now regarding this large sum of immoral money, bribing the Turkish government in order to send troops. If Bush really wanted to do something for this economy, I'm sure there are lots of people here would love to serve at those prices. As a matter of fact, I would go over.
Yeah, yeah, $850,000 a year, I'll serve as a peacekeeper in Iraq, no problem. Why can't we pay our soldiers that? I mean, we're paying Turkish soldiers that, and our own soldiers have to have Desinex mailed from home, bottled water from home. I mean, this is
over the top. I don't know. It's a strange time, but I just try to be as optimistic as possible, and stay strong in my resolve to keep getting the word out, and hopefully
there you go. That's what we absolutely must do, Kodak. That's absolutely what we must do. Is we must, you know, no more of this spoon feeding zone stuff on faux TV and these phony right wing. You know, it's time to tell the truth, and it's time to share the truth and spread it with as many Americans as we can from coast to coast. Every one of us can do that. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 10,000 grocery store workers in the St. Louis metropolitan area are walking picket lines this week. United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655 voted by a more than 2-to-1 margin Monday to reject a contract offer and authorize a strike at nearly 100 St. Louis stores owned by three chains. Immediately after the vote, two of the chains locked out their workers. Meanwhile, seven UFCW locals in Southern California, representing 70,000 grocery workers at more than 850 stores, hold strike votes today and tomorrow. A walkout there could happen as early as Saturday.
After nearly 4 months spent walking picket lines, finally some good news for 130 striking workers at Chicago's Congress Plaza Hotel. The National Labor Relations Board filed a complaint this week against hotel managers, charging they illegally cut employee wages and failed to bargain in good faith. Last June, Congress hotel managers broke from a citywide labor agreement and unilaterally slashed employee compensation, cutting wages by 7% and effectively eliminating health coverage. If the Labor Relations Board finds in the union's favor, their walkout will be declared an unfair labor practices strike, meaning workers can't be replaced permanently. But Congress workers shouldn't expect relief anytime soon. A hearing isn't scheduled until February 10th.
What was once one of the largest employee-owned steel companies in the United States may leave 10,000 retirees out in the cold. West Virginia's Wharton Steel filed for bankruptcy protection in May. This week it submitted a corporate reorganization plan. It calls for the layoff of 1,000 workers and the abandonment of the company's pension and insurance plans. The company is still negotiating the reorganization with the Independent Steelworkers Union and has until December 15th to finalize its proposal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Propagandy, propagandy. If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, fool the wool over their eyes, you can do it with propagandy. Propagandy.
Welcome back. Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The administration, the cons in the administration have gone on a PR offensive. They're out there talking up, oh, everything is going fine, and this is great, and that's great, and everything else is great. And I think it's important for us to be sure that the record is clear. For example, while we are paying $850,000 per soldier to Turkey to send their soldiers into Iraq and participate in the peacekeeping so that we can say, well, yeah, we've got some of them Middle Eastern guys in there, Arabic speakers, while we are paying them $850,000, as profiled in the Nation magazine, our soldiers are dealing with, quote, retooled hand-me-down rifles from Vietnam. They have inadequate radio gear, so they buy their own unencrypted Motorola walkie-talkies. The same goes for flashlights, knives, and some components for night vision sights. The low-performance Iraqi air conditioners and fans, as well as the one satellite radio and payment cards shared by the whole company for calling home, were all purchased out of pocket from civilian suppliers. But we can pay $850,000 a person for Turkey to send troops in. And then let's consider this whole issue of this thing with Joe Wilson. I think it's a marvelous juxtaposition. Either this administration is absolutely incompetent at finding anybody anywhere but loves to talk about it as if they're not, or something else is going on. And actually, now they're not talking about it as if they're not. I mean, just listen to these. Here's a couple of clips. This is June 24th. Here's George Bush. I mentioned, actually, I don't think I opened the show with it. Today is day 241 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 752. Consider how long that is. 752. In the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of George W. Bush, Osama bin Laden. And just listen to how he weasels out of it in this one here, this news interview.
For both presidents, the war on terror that you're both engaged in, there are two principles that are still at large. Could you tell us anything about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden? Is he
don't mention that name.
In Pakistan? And what about Saddam Hussein? Is he back in Iraq?
Well, let me start off. There's more than two principles at large. There are terrorists who are still have designs on destabilizing Pakistan government and or destroying innocent life. You've named two. There are others.
Well, we're going to find them.
Two, and we're just on the hunt.
We're on the hunt.
We'll find them. It's a matter of time.
We'll find them, yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You just wait. You just wait. We will find them. Yes, indeed. And then here, another one. Here's George W. Bush on what we're going to do to people who support terrorists.
We'll be on the hunt. And we'll find them.
Yeah, we'll find them.
And they'll be brought to justice.
And they'll be brought to justice. Anybody who dares help a terrorist. Anybody, yeah, we'll get them.
If you hide a terrorist, if you feed a terrorist, you're just as guilty as the terrorist, and you'll be held to account.
Amen, George. So now we've got this woman, Valerie Plame, who is an operative, a CIA undercover agent. And she's searching all around. She's got a network of people around the world, and she's working in counterterrorism, according to all sources. She's part of your war. Yeah. And what are we going to do? Well, you know, we're going to be on the hunt.
And we'll find them.
And we'll find them.
And they will be brought to justice.
Okay, but wait a minute. One of his own guys seems to be helping out these terrorists. Maybe Karl Rove, one of his own guys. Somebody in his own administration seems to be helping out these terrorists. What's going on? What do we do now? What do we do now, Mr. Bush?
How many sources have you had that's leaked information that you've exposed or have been exposed? Probably none. I mean, this town is a town full of people who like to leak information.
Well, that's because very rarely is a CIA agent outed. Tell me the last time that there was a leak that was considered a felony was Daniel Ellsberg in the Pentagon Papers. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. They nailed Ellsberg. They were going to throw him in prison for 30 years. Because they got to the bottom of who leaked that thing, and they did it in a hurry, I can tell you. So he says, when was the last time somebody revealed a leak? Well, yeah, you know, leaking that Condi's upset with Rummy. Give me a break. So anyhow, he continues.
And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a...
I don't know. It's like, wait a minute.
And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea. I'd like to.
Yeah, right.
I want to know the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got to append that to the end there, get that last little bit in.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What is going on? Is democracy going down in flames? Is this administration going down in flames? Is the future of America in trouble? As bad a trouble, a problem, a difficulty as this administration? Time will tell. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Armin in Bradenton, Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, what's up?
Hey, Tom. You know, you were talking about Norquist's statement.
Yeah.
I have a couple questions. Was it we or they who bailed out their savings and loans? Was it we or they who bailed out their financial markets in Mexico after NAFTA? Is it we or they who furnished the money for their military complex? And was it we or they that financed the establishment of Saddam Hussein?
Great one, Armin. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Yes, and that's the bottom line. I mean, Grover Norquist, no doubt, drove to that interview with Terry Gross on streets paid for by tax dollars by we, the people, through our representative government. He no doubt is using, you know, drinking city water, using city septic services. He's, you know, his telephone services are going over public rights of way. If he gets mugged, he's going to want the police from we, the people. I mean, this is just nuts. These people are so completely out of touch with reality. So completely out of touch. It's not just reality. They are out of touch with the notion of democracy. Democracy itself. They are disconnected from. Now it looks like Bush is going to pull back from this UN thing. The folks at the UN are saying that if he wants to be asking for UN resolutions that are going to provide a fig leaf to other nations to go in and help us out, he's going to have to turn over some of that oil. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. The Washington Post reports White House spokesman Scott McClellan and President Bush, quote, did not rebut reports that White House officials were spreading damaging information about Ambassador Joseph Wilson and his wife. I mean, this just keeps on going. Here in Newsweek now, Newsweek reported that Karl Rove said that Valerie Plame was fair game. Told this to Chris Matthews, MSNBC's reporter. And when McClellan was asked about Rove's behavior, he sidestepped the question, as did George Bush. These guys, they're talking about invoking executive privilege. You only invoke executive privilege to protect the President of the United States, not his staff. I think the old Jeb Magruder question of what did the president know and when did he know it is soon going to be coming back around. Just you know, mark my words. Because this is part of, I mean, they're calling this thing, what are they calling it? See, this is the problem. They got to come up with a better buzzword for this because I can't even remember it. Intimidate. That's right. You know, intimidation. Here, Scotty McClellan, yesterday at a press briefing, with a straight face, says, it's absurd to suggest that this White House would seek to punish somebody for speaking out with a different view. We welcome people with different views. Yeah, right. Larry Lindsey. He says, you know, if you go into Iraq, it's going to cost $100 to $200 billion. Bang! He's fired. Eric Shinseki says, you want to go into Iraq, it's going to, you're going to have 100,000 troops or more, maybe 200,000. He's publicly humiliated by the administration. General Anthony Zinni, he says, you know, there's more important things than Iraq. We got Osama bin Laden out there. He's got nothing to do with Iraq. What happens to Zinni? He's terminated. No pun intended, as the Mideast envoy. And then when ABC News reports that our troops say conditions in Iraq are not all they should be, troops are complaining. The White House leaks that the ABC correspondent is gay. I mean, this is a White House that, this is an administration that feeds on intimidation.
that is driven by intimidation. And then Scotty McClellan yesterday saying, no, no, we welcome people who disagree with us. Right, they welcome people who disagree with them in the crosshairs. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you would like to be on the program today, have thoughts, comments, something to add, Terry in California is on the line. Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Terry?
Oh, I'm doing really good. I love your show. It's just been a godsend to us up here.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to let you know that I believe Bush and Ashcroft are narrowing in on Osama, the anthrax fellow, and all the evildoers. I think they've got them nailed down to the mayor's office in Cleveland where they put in bugs.
Oh, yeah, that Democrat. How dare he be a Democrat? Yes, we got to nail that guy. It's a high priority FBI bug. Yeah, it's... You know, the story hasn't come out yet, of course, and we don't know what's going on. And maybe there is corruption there, and it's entirely appropriate that the government be investigating corruption. But, boy, right before an election, this does not look good.
It looks a whole lot like the Nixon administration, doesn't it?
Well, what amazes me is that former Enron lobbyist and now RNC chairman Ed Gillespie was whining on and on and on yesterday on CNN and every other, you know, media outlet that would have him about how about the LA Times and the groper stories about Arnold and the timing of this stuff and Bill O'Reilly on his TV show going on and on about how, you know, 20,000 people have canceled their subscriptions to the LA Times, you know, trying to create a movement because of the timing of this, right? Just before an election. And here, just before an election, I mean, this mayor of Cleveland is up for election in November. Just before an election, now the FBI comes out and says, well, yeah, we think we're investigating this guy. Something going on here. And where is the outrage? Where is the outrage? Where are the people saying, hey, what about the timing? Well, he's a Democrat. It is all so partisan. You know, what's tragic, Terry, about this thing, in my opinion, is not so much that, you know, the right or wrong. I mean, yeah, if people are doing wrong, they should be outed, whether it's Arnold groping women or whether it's the governor of or the mayor of Cleveland doing something, you know, or Marion Barry smoking crack in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's public officials. But and for that matter, Arnold having his meeting back on May 17th, 2001 with Ken Lay to talk about, you know, this $9 billion lawsuit that Cruz Bustamante has filed. If these guys are doing wrong, it should come out in the papers. But then you've got this whole orchestra, this whole incredibly huge media orchestra that when anything comes out at all negative against a Republican, they go ballistic. And when stuff comes out negative against a Democrat, it's, oh, look at this. This is the news. And you know, I'm perfectly willing to criticize both, frankly. Although, you know where my politics are. I don't hide this stuff. I'm not pretending to be a news show here. But it just amazes me how often people are willing to set aside what's best for democracy, which, frankly, is my concern. What's best for democracy in exchange for a partisan rant. So, Terry, thanks for the call. I truly appreciate your calling in and your fine words. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We've got about a minute here left in this segment. Ryan in Vermont is on the line. Ryan, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Ryan.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I just was wondering if maybe you could talk about two things. One was, did you read that article on Salon about that FBI bug that was placed in Philadelphia's Mayor Street's office?
Philadelphia or Cleveland?
Philadelphia.
Okay, maybe I'm mixing them up. I haven't seen it. I haven't read Salon, but...
Yeah, it just seemed kind of strange that suddenly... I was wondering if it was tied into, the Patriot Act and the FBI placing a bug, because it's... I guess it's a tight race, and he's up against
a Republican.
Yeah, a Republican. Yeah. I forget.
So it was Philly. I'm mixing. I don't have the news story right here in front
okay.
of me. I was going on Terry's note of Cleveland.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was wondering is, you know, is there some way that something can happen where the profit is taken out of Iraq for these companies like Halliburton, and they go in and they're making all these profits? I mean, is there some kind of legislation?
Oh, yeah. It used to be a felony, you know. It used to be against the war. It was called war profiteering. It was considered immoral. It was considered illegal. It was considered wrong. There were, you know, companies were limited in the amount of profit that they could make. Their specific profits were capped. This was right up through World War II. And there were Democrats who tried to propose legislation that said that any company that incorporated offshore so they didn't have to pay taxes on the profit, like Halliburton, couldn't have that job. Well, we'll finish this right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To be a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Why do I have to get this cold sore scab now? I've got a job interview this week.
The embarrassment of a cold sore scab is as painful as the sore itself. Do something about it. Try new Camphophonique cold sore treatment for scab relief. It's the only one that targets the scab with a special formula that provides maximum strength pain relief. Plus, it seals in moisture to help prevent cracking, to promote healing. Camphophonique stops pain, promotes healing, ends embarrassment.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the October Best Buys at Ace Hardware. Come in today and get Ace Royal Touch Satin Wall and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. Backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and a 25-year warranty, the Ace Royal Touch Satin is great for kids' rooms and other heavy-use areas. Plus, the helpful folks at Ace can help you match over 1,400 colors. So hurry into your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of October. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Radio Free Speech Zone.
Ed Zelenak in on the Radio Free Speech Zone. Joining us is the smarter, the better looking, the funnier of the Smothers Brothers, the more talented Tom Smothers. You have brought comedy and social commentary to the living room on the television screen with the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Is there a place today for something like that, something where free speech can be intertwined with entertainment?
Free speech goes without saying, you would think, but we're censoring ourselves too much right now. The government has a point of view, and anybody disagrees with it, you're not patriotic, you're a treasonous, you don't agree with the government. government's position, and that's what happened when, back in the 60s, and it's happening again now. So it's kind of depressing in that way.
They almost wrapped the First Amendment in an impermeable shell of patriotism.
Aha, that's right. The only person that has a right to say anything is them. This is great to be out where people don't talk over you and be rude to you.
The Radio Free Speed Zone, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Exposing the con in conservative, this is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. Our quote for the day from Cardinal Joseph Bernardin of Bernardin? The Chicago Archdiocese. Healthcare is an essential safeguard of human health and dignity, and there is an obligation for society to ensure that every person be able to realize this right. And on it goes. A new scandal from the Bush administration and the defense. Maybe this had something to do with Rummy losing his power to Condi. The General Accounting Office reported this week that using a fake company, investigators were not only able to buy a windfall of chemical and biological weaponry materials from the Department of Defense, but also at a fraction of the cost, spending less than a tenth of the $46,960 the equipment originally cost. The investigators bought items, quote, including a biological safety cabinet, a bacteriological incubator, a centrifuge, an evaporator, and chemical and biological protective suits and related gear. Absolutely incredible. At the same time, we've got, you know, the New York Times CBS poll released on Friday found that fewer than half those questioned, 45% down from 66% in April, have confidence in George Bush's ability to handle an international crisis. People are figuring this out. You know, it is becoming increasingly evident that there's no there. And at the same time, it's interesting to see this sniping that's going on from the extreme right at Bush because he's spending too much money. And then everybody else is worried about, you know, he's getting it from both sides. And what people don't realize is that there really and truly is this religion, this salvationistic religion, they call it a political theory. But it's a religion just as much as Marxism was a religion. It's a utopian concept that if only everything were left to the free market, and if only the rich could make all the decisions, and they weren't discriminated against by taxes, to use Grover Norquist's language, then everything would be wonderful. And it's in previous times, we've known this, it's been called aristocracy and feudalism. And that's what they want to bring back. And we need to stop them. We need to bring back democracy to America. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back after the news. From the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says my Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy, a day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy, but that tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraqi Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. As the House today takes up President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan, the debate over the bill is increasingly focused not just on the amount of money, but also who will get it. Of the $4 billion a month already being spent in Iraq, as much as a third is already going to private contractors. As many as 1 in 10 Americans deployed in Iraq and Kuwait, perhaps 20,000, are contractors, a group larger than any of the military forces. Members of Congress are worried that their oversight will diminish, cost controls will weaken, and decisions about security, training, and the shape of the new Iraqi government will be in the hands of people with financial stakes in the outcome. A federal corruption investigation was inadvertently exposed this week when a listening device was discovered in the City Hall office of Philadelphia Mayor John Street. The bug was found Tuesday during a sweep of Street's office by police, which is performed routinely every few months. Federal law enforcement sources said the office was bugged as part of an FBI anti-corruption investigation, but refused to elaborate further. The FBI's chief point man in the campaign against terrorism is leaving to join a Las Vegas gambling empire less than 3 months after becoming the third-ranking official at the Bureau. Larry Mefford, head of the FBI's counterterrorism and counterintelligence operation, becomes the third person to leave that post in the last 14 months. No immediate successor was named. Mefford is retiring at the end of October after 24 years and will return to Nevada to assist Steve Wynn, the Las Vegas gambling magnate, in security and other operations. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A man is recovering in a Vancouver hospital after his attempt to steal a roll of wire ended up giving him a 27,000-volt electrical shock. He was found Monday wandering without his shoes, which were blown off when he tried to disconnect the wire from a running generator. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the October Best Buys at Ace Hardware. Come in today and get Ace Royal Touch Satin Wall and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. Backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and a 25-year warranty, the Ace Royal Touch Satin is great for kids' rooms and other heavy-use areas. Plus, the helpful folks at Ace can help you match over 1,400 colors. So hurry into your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of October. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited, available at participating stores. We'll be right back.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost of living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects, but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network and ready for another hour. In this hour, I had originally set this up as, you know, how long will corporate profiteers prevent all Americans from having full access to health care? And I think we'll have time to get into that in this hour. I really do, because I think this is really one of the top issues. But I want to start out with our conservative alert for the day, and that has caused me to think, you know, we really ought to segue into, there's something I want to share with you, the historic Republican view of propaganda and war. But first, our conservative alert. Yes, indeed. Yesterday, I shared with you the Bush-Cheney 04 email. New report discloses dozens of weapons of mass destruction program activities in Iraq. And here, and I quote, according to the Wall Street Journal, now this is an important thing to note, according to the Wall Street Journal, a new report shows that Saddam Hussein had, quote, dozens of WMD-related program activities and significant amounts of equipment from Iraq that Iraq concealed from the United Nations during the inspections that began in late 2002, end quote. The Wall Street Journal makes note of the findings to rebut other media reports that say the latest inspections by U.S. Inspector David Kaye have unearthed no new information in his short three-month search. Okay, this, you got it? This is what the Republicans are sending out in email to all of their supporters. They're saying that the Wall Street Journal says, you know, to try and give credibility to their claim, the Wall Street Journal says that David Kaye found a bunch of stuff. Well, let me read you the exact quote from the Wall Street Journal. And here it is verbatim.
And I quote, this from it's actually from a column in the Wall Street Journal, the Capital Journal column by Gerald F. Seib, S-E-I-B, maybe it's Seib, I think it's Seib. A Bush doctrine is put in jeopardy by weapons hunt is the title. And he says, and I quote, a complete reading of Mr. K's unclassified reports shows that he also has found significant evidence of a large but latent network of facilities and scientists that could have been brought back to life fairly easily to produce chemical and biological weapons. But he has found a program that met the administration's own test. Oh, but has he found a program that met the administration's own test for a preemptive attack, a, quote, specific threat to the United States of, or our allies and friends, end quote? Not yet. Indeed, in a subsequent conversation with reporters, Mr. K said it appears for now that UN sanctions may have worked better than previously thought at suppressing Iraqi weapons programs. End of quote from the Wall Street Journal, completely contradicting the out-of-context quote that the Republican Party had mailed out to all of their gullible email readers all across the nation. Our conservative alert for the day. Yes, if they only had a brain. And a true tragedy it is, too, that these folks want to run this country and that they have the power that they do. And this is really where it gets into this second issue that I want to share with you. I want to give you, and I hope that this recording is of sufficient quality that you can get it. And Steph, engineering the program there in Detroit, if this is really clunky or if it's not coming through, let me know. Give me a heads up on this because it runs a little more than 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes. I'm going to break it into some pieces and describe it. But this is a Republican president who lived through World War One. I frankly don't recall if Herbert Hoover was a World War One veteran or not. But he was speaking out. This was after he was out of office. Franklin Roosevelt is now the president. War is raging in Europe. And the Republicans were, A, opposed, by and large, were, A, opposed to our intervening in the what they referred to as the European War, which we later now call World War II. When he says the Great War, he's talking about World War I. But even more important, the Republican Party at that time, and Herbert Hoover being one of its, you know, he was the spokesman emeritus, the former president of the United States, had some very specific opinions about the kind of coverage that was coming out of Europe in the press that they felt was trying to encourage us to go to the defense of those nations being attacked by Germany. Here's Herbert Hoover on war propaganda and what it means.
The dangers of our being dragged into war are in three directions.
Three directions.
First, foreign propaganda to inflame our emotions and to mold our minds to war. Second, the preachments of our own mistaken officials and citizens, which in effect support these propagandas. Third, steps taken by our government that while denying that they are intended to take us into war, yet entangle us with these very controversies, the end of which may be war.
So he's complaining about the press reports and those politicians who are saying, you know, we really need to go into this war. Secondly, he's complaining about foreign governments putting out information that might, like help from England. And third, he's complaining about people within our own government who are suggesting that we should participate. And then, and Steph, does this sound clean? Is this coming across okay? Apparently it is. And then he gets into the details of how this propaganda works. And just listen to this.
And here we can examine one of the methods of power politics, and that is propaganda. During the World War, propaganda was first developed into an actual weapon no less potent than the killing of men.
Now, propaganda developed into a weapon no less potent than the killing of men. I mean, serious
when
stuff.
When peoples and governments weigh the sacrifice of their sons, then truth and honesty and tolerance and justice are thrown to the winds if a lie will serve better.
Did you get that? When people are, a lie will serve better than weighing truth and honesty and justice when we are considering throwing our sons and daughters to the wind. In other words, he's essentially accusing the government of lying to get us into the war. He continues.
The Great War was the first time in history when all the powerful agencies of publicity and the manipulation of news were organized without moral restraint under the genius of skilled men.
See, without moral restraint, that this whole thing, I mean, keep in mind, this administration has just publicly proclaimed that they're launching a PR campaign. And here's Herbert Hoover, this famous Republican, saying this is without moral restraint to do this sort of thing.
They were built up a skill and a technique in front of which every citizen was helpless to know the truth.
Every citizen was helpless to know the truth because they are so skillful at this. Look at the number. 60-70% of Americans think Osama attacked us in the towers.
And since that time, the radio has become an additional weapon.
Yes, indeed. And Father Coughlin and his rants, and see, that he was the Rush Bimbo of the day. All these forces coming together, Hoover was very, very concerned about.
We ourselves, when we entered the war, imitated the others. We created great propaganda agencies. And no man dared to question our answer under that fierce, organized condemnation.
You notice that nobody could speak up against the war once it was going.
Now, propaganda has three directions. Now,
this is really interesting. This guy was a scholar. Propaganda has three, even if he did bring us the Great Depression, propaganda has three directions. Note them.
Internal, to mobilize emotions.
Internal, to fire up the people. You want to see that kind of propaganda? Watch faux news. Listen to the right-wingers on the radio.
External, to influence neutral nations, and aggressive, to influence the enemy.
External, to influence neutral nations. Remember Colin Powell at the UN? And then to scare the enemy.
From the beginning of the World War, I saw the development of the propaganda directed at the United States from both sides. I was so impressed that I collected this material for years. The War Library at Stanford University holds...
He pulled all this stuff together for us.
...of this emanation from every government at war. And in the light of what we now know really happened, it comprises the greatest collection of part lies on the face of the earth.
Part lies.
It ought to be studied. Now, there are certain types of propaganda in motion today which fertilize our soil for our entry into the war.
Now he's talking about the kinds of propaganda that in the 1930s were being, in the late 1930s, were being put forward to try to get us, what he calls propaganda, to try and get us into World War II.
We're told that we must join in war or democracy will disappear from the earth. That is a propaganda of the preparatory type.
There's a preparatory type of propaganda.
From the alliance of the democracies with several totalitarian states, that ideological issue seems a little confused. Now, my sympathies are with the democracies of Western Europe, but those democracies have resources to defend themselves. They comprise great empires of hundreds of millions of people with resources needed to secure their defense.
I think that at this point, to cut Herbert Hoover a little slack, we should note that a lot of people in the United States underestimated the power that Hitler represented, including, obviously, Hoover.
Whether they preserve their democracies is a question of their own will.
But here is where, and this is, I shared some of the quotes from this book my father gave me that Rex Stout, the creator of Nero Wolfe, compiled, of all these different Republicans giving speeches against the war and calling the Democrats warmongers in the early 1940s, late 1930s, early 1940s, and some of them after the entry into the war, where basically they said, okay, if Europe falls, no big deal. And here's what Herbert Hoover had to say about that.
We're told that if they fall, then we will be the next victim. I do not agree that they will fall. But if they do fall, the exhaustion of the dictators will be such that they'll leave us alone for a quarter of a century at least.
So if Europe falls to Hitler in 1940, then we don't have to worry about that until 1965, said Herbert Hoover. But so it's really interesting. I mean, there's multiple dimensions, multiple layers of fascinating history in that speech by former President of the United States, Republican Herbert Hoover. And after he was out of office, speaking basically against Franklin Roosevelt and our participation in World War II. And one of the most interesting, I think, is the whole idea of propaganda. Propaganda as to create war and to get us into war. And it's fascinating. It's particularly fascinating to see how it is being played out now. You watch TV, you watch the Sunday morning shows. It's like we have become so inured to this. It's like normal. We just, you know, we turn on the TV and there's Condi or there's Rummy and they're spouting things that turn out not to be true, and nobody questions them, and nobody goes, it's propaganda. We just go, well, that's normal politics. How far we've gone. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Tired of making minimum payments on your credit cards? Do you have a lot of credit card debt? Then call DITECH.com right now for a home equity loan with a no closing cost option. Pay off those credit cards once and for all without paying closing costs. A home equity loan from DITECH.com. Just call 1-800-DITECH-1. That's 1-800-DITECH-1. Or log on to DITECH.com for terms and license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost of living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects but insists upon.
This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Army, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
True People's Radio, the place where smart people get their news, the no spoon feeding zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. In a blow to health care for the elderly and poverty stricken, according to the Washington Post, quote, President Bush intervened directly last week for the first time in congressional negotiations over the future of Medicare, telephoning Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist to warn that he opposed the direction lawmakers appeared to be taking in a bid to provide drug benefits to poor, elderly people. You get that? For the first time, George Bush decides to intervene personally in the health care issue. This whole thing about Medicaid, he calls up Bill Frist, his buddy who made millions buying up not-for-profit hospitals, turning them for-profit, wringing them dry. And then he calls up Frist and he says, well, to quote the Washington Post, that he opposed the direction lawmakers appeared to be taking in a bid to provide drug benefits to poor elderly people, end quote. Incredible. President Bush stepped in to push a position which contradicts all 50 state governors and many Senate Republicans. Now, does that mean that he's like a mean guy? Am I suggesting, the president, he's a nasty... No. I really don't think that George Bush is doing this because he's a psychopath, or because he's mean, or because he likes to see, poor elderly people suffer, or he just assumes they die quickly so they cost the government less money, or any of the other bizarre theories that have been put forward to explain his behavior. It doesn't make sense to me. He's a human being like the rest of us. He may be a little short on empathy. I do have some concerns there, how easily and how quickly he signed all those death warrants in Texas. And then you've got the governor of Illinois, who as soon as, somebody brings up some DNA evidence, it looks now like, the DNA studies that are being done, it looks like about, on average, between 1 in 10 and 1 in 7 death row inmates is actually innocent. And when the governor of Illinois figured this out, he said, whoa, we're going to put a stop to this. And George Bush has never looked back. So, yeah, I do think that there is, some dimension to his personality which isn't capable of understanding the suffering of others. Because he was born rich, went to prep schools, went to Andover. He was the head of the cheerleading squad at Andover. I mean, that was his big thing, He was the head cheerleader. Didn't get particularly good grades. He was a party boy. His daddy got him into Harvard and then got him into Yale and he got into Skull and Bones. And he got him at the last minute before he was going to be drafted, daddy got him into the National Guard. And he didn't even have to show up for a year. I mean, he had to, but he didn't bother to. And then he had three businesses in a row that all went bankrupt, basically. They all went bust. And every single one got bailed out by rich friends in the Bin Laden family or friends of his father. And so basically you've got somebody who the only adversity that he's ever faced in his life was being arrested for cocaine use, arrested for drunk driving and convicted of it, having to do community service for cocaine, and, struggling with basically addiction. And I have to say, I admire the fact that he walked away from alcohol. He said, that's it. God bless him. That is a good role model. But I think that's about the only... The only challenge that this guy has faced in his life is his addiction, his substance abuse. And so he doesn't you know, he doesn't really understand what it is to be poor and elderly. But I don't think that that's what's underneath this. I think what's underneath this is this false religion of conservatism. This is Tom Hartman in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Leaving nature alone might not be enough to preserve it. An author argues for a more hands-on approach. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Preservation of nature has long been understood to mean simply leaving it alone, but that approach is doomed to fail, according to William Jordan III.
You don't have a choice in this matter. The survival and well-being and condition of these so-called natural communities ultimately depends on restoration.
Jordan, the author of a new book about restoration ecology called The Sunflower Forest, says ecosystems are influenced by everything around them. For example, forests and prairies change profoundly when we deprive them of natural fire, and invasive species constantly find their way into many natural areas, tipping their ecological balance. Jordan says we can no longer just sit back because, like it or not, we already affect almost every natural system.
No matter how hard you try not to influence nature, you do influence nature. And so to be told that the best thing you can do for the planet is basically to get off of it is really dispiriting advice, and I would call it a council of despair. And I think one of the great things about restoration is it says, come back into the garden. You're needed there.
Jordan says we need to work continually to restore and maintain natural systems. He says this work should be based on science, but it can be done by anyone who wants to work in the landscape.
It gives us a place in the landscape, and it gives us a sort of citizenship on the planet. And this is very good news to people. I mean, it addresses, I think, some of their deepest concerns that environmentalism has been saying, you don't belong here.
Jordan argues that humans do belong in the landscape and can be a positive force in restoring its ecological balance. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Propagandy, propagandy. Try and convince the folks that beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propagandy.
Ah, yes, propagandy. What we've been talking about here this last hour. I need to make myself clearer, I think. Let me share with you some of the comments in our chat room from as a result of my rambling from the last few minutes. And then we've got Rob from Op-Ed News on the line here. But before we get to you, Rob, I just want to lay this out here. One of the folks, Timber Monkey, well, instead of naming everybody, I'll just read you some of the quick quotes. Tom, if none of these people meet your definition of bad and serial killers are just insane, who are bad people? Well, that takes us off into a whole other topic. I believe, you know, my personal belief is that there aren't bad people. There are people who are damaged. And if they're damaged in a way that's irredeemable, then they need to be separated from society. But that vengeance, inflicting pain and vengeance on those who have inflicted pain on others is just amps up the cycle. It makes us less and less sensitive to pain and suffering. And I think that George Bush has been sucked into that. But beyond that, then, you know, somebody else says, sometimes I do wonder if some in his administration get some pleasure from the suffering of others. Lots of cruelty in the U.S. GOP, Gestapo are bad people. What about Skull and Bones initiation? Isn't that all about desensitization to violence? Duh, sociopaths can never understand the suffering of others or empathize. A lack of compassion can result in suffering. These are different comments from different people. Lack of compassion can result in suffering just as surely as actual evil intent. So what's so surprising? Reference to Bush's Coke thing. Bush has never suffered the consequences of his actions. He's now a religious addict. These are the comments that, and one guy says, Tom, I got some land to sell you. You know, if I think that that George Bush is not opposing health care for the elderly and poor because he's mean. And here's my point. I just want to just say it. Yes, I think that this guy's personality is damaged. And I say that, and I, you know, yes, I'm on the roster of psych, or I was, I didn't renew last year, but I was on the, for years, on the roster of psychotherapists here in Vermont, and I'm not putting on that hat and trying to play shrink, but I do think that there's something not quite right there. Yes, right up front, I'll tell you that. And I think that in many ways it qualifies as what some would call evil. I'm very wary of that word, frankly. But anybody who laughs about killing other people, as Bush did about Carla Faye Tucker and others that he has sent to death row, anybody who cavalierly sends people to their death, anybody who eagerly engages in warfare, anybody who is unwilling to go to the funerals of the people whose death he has caused. You know, Bill Clinton went to the funeral of every person who died in Kosovo and all of our other foreign excursions during his 8 years. George Bush has gone to none. These all, to me, are serious character flaws or defects or whatever you want to call it. But I don't think that here's my point, though. I don't think that that's why he's saying why he stepped into this thing and called up Bill Frist and said, stop trying to give health care to poor and elderly people. I think the reason for that is because he's a believer in the religion of conservatism, which says if you don't give people anything, you will force them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And completely ignores the fact that a lot of people don't have bootstraps to begin with to pull themselves up from. This is the 19th century Hobbesian Darwinian thinking of the worst kind, and it has seized control of the Republican Party and the conservative movement in the United States. And I believe that when Bush intervenes in these kinds of things, knowing that it's going to be politically unpopular, that he's not doing it because he's a mean person. And I'm not saying he's not. He may well be one of the meanest people out there. I'm saying he's doing it because he believes in a particular religious political ideology, a false religion. This con religion, him and Grover and all these others, the idea, they don't believe in democracy is the bottom line. They think that democracy is a flawed concept. And, you know, they're thinking the same way that Socrates was and several of his students who led the revolt of the 400 and the revolt of the 30 against Athens, and for which Socrates was asked to drink hemlock, or was sentenced to death and chose to commit suicide. they're thinking that democracy is something that's flawed. It's something that can't survive. And I believe that they're wrong. So anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Rob, with opednews.com, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Hey, Rob, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi. First of all, I agree with you about what you've been saying about Bush. I've been thinking and talking with some about the attachment disorder. And it just seems to me like this is a real possibility for what's going on, not with, just with Bush, but with a lot of the right-wingers.
Yeah.
You know, the idea
now, you might want to, I don't know to what extent you want to reveal, you know, your own personal background, but Rob, you and I are friends, and you have a background in psychology, and so why don't you explain just very quickly to our listeners what detachment disorders are?
Well, attachment disorders have been reported in just the last 5 or 6 years, really, to great extent.
Well, John Bowlby was writing about this stuff in England in the 30s, wasn't he?
It's been around a long time, but recently the brain researchers have shown that basically attachment disorders start with the disconnection in the relationship between the mother and the infant. When the mother looks in the infant's eyes and the infant looks back, connections happening there, and those connections build changes into the frontal lobes of the brain, the part of the brain that has to do with the conscience, with executive functions.
And I wrote it. There's an entire chapter of this, by the way, in my new book, The Edison Gene.
It looks good, by the way, The Edison Gene.
Thank you.
Book.
Thank you. But,
so,
yeah.
What the research has shown is that if this connection with the mother and infant doesn't happen, then the brain doesn't develop properly, and you end up with people, adults with attachment disorders that has profound effects on them and their relationship.
Right. They're not willing, they're not able. It's not a matter of willing, and it's not a matter of will. They're not able to empathize with other people. They tend to see the world in black and white terms. They tend to very easily vilify others, and they tend to easily justify harming or even killing others in the name of a perceived threat or whatever, because they can't identify, they can't empathize with the other. Is that a good summary there, Rob?
Yeah. So basically, these people have a lot of pain of their own. I mean, they have no depth of feeling. They have impulsivity problems. They have substance abuse problems. They can be addicted to things like cocaine. Sound like George Bush, eh?
Well, and there's a good body of psychological evidence, most of which was written in the late 50s and early 60s about Adolf Hitler having the same problem, that most of these people are, you know, it used to be called narcissistic personality disorder, that these people think that they are the only person in the world who experiences pain, that you know, they know their own pain, but they are incapable of imagining the pain of another person. And their entire world is centered around themselves. And you see this, one of the professions where you actually see a lot of this is bodybuilders, because it's the ultimate narcissism. You know, they're staring in mirrors at themselves for hours every day, for years at a time. They are the center of their own world. And everybody else is just an other, a them, to serve the bodybuilder or the narcissist or in this case, the narcissist who has an attachment disorder. That phone's going to get you, Rob.
Yeah.
Okay. Final thoughts, and then I got John in Long Beach here on the line.
No, it's just the idea that now we get starting to get a picture of the neurophysiology of why these right wingers are such total creeps.
Yeah. I need the next piece I do in Common Dreams needs to be about this. Thank you, Rob, for the call. I appreciate it. I'll let you get to whoever else is calling you there. And thanks for the great work that you do with opednews.com, by the way. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. The use of propaganda, the melting down of the healthcare system. There was a big rally in Massachusetts yesterday on this. John in Long Beach, what are your thoughts on this?
Good morning, John.
Hey, hello. John.
You know, if a person says to me, you know, I've worked hard all my life, I've never asked anybody for anything, I've always pulled myself up by my bootstraps, blah, blah, blah. Well, you might can go along with that. But somebody like Bush has never, ever had to pull himself up by his bootstraps.
Well, and let me pause you right there, John, because that's, you know, what you're saying is the kind of thing, and no offense, I understand what you mean, and I agree with what you mean, but what the words that you're using are words that are very often used by the conservatives, and what they're missing is that the vast majority, probably 99.5% of people who can say that, yes, I never had any help in my life, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, were born white, middle class, with parents who nurtured and cared for them, with public education which taught them how to read and how to be functional in society, in a safe neighborhood where they didn't have to fear for their lives, in a low anxiety environment throughout their development so that their brain developed normally, and when they went out into the workplace, you know, they had access to good clothing and all of these things that we absolutely particularly the white middle class. Now there's a growing black middle class, and out of this you're seeing now right wing African Americans who are making the same argument, that we're forgetting that there's a substrate underneath all this. There is a ground upon which we all stand. And that ground is it provides us with certain advantages and opportunities. And that ground simply does not exist for some other people.
Well, I understand that.
So, pardon my interrupting, John. Finish your thought.
I understand that, Tom, and I didn't mean to make you think I agreed that.
No, I know you did, and that's why I said that. But I just, you know, it's I want our listeners, because I know you, John, and I know that you and I are on the same page here. But it's so easy
thing is that nobody, when you get right down to it, nobody enters this life without help.
Yeah.
I mean, that is from the beginning, and to say that you never need any help, I've never needed any help. That's just really is really nonsense, but especially in the case of someone like Bush. He has never had to own up to any of his failures. He's never had to suffer any losses of any kind. And for him to say, well, you know, these people just got to get out there and do whatever. I have no use for the guy. But one other thing, and I want to get this in. Bush is like an empty vessel, and any the people around him, what puts into him, I'm not saying this very well, the people around him influence him as to what they want him to do. Mm-hmm. He does not have, I don't believe, has the ability to for original thought.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Howard Graham, as I recall, I think he was the author of The Seven Intelligences, brought forth this idea that different people have, that it's possible to be a genius and not know how to read, and not even be able to learn how to read. That different people have, and I'm not talking about idiot savants like, you know, this kid on TV who is a musician, but that some people are really brilliant at, you know, logical thinking, intellectual didactic thinking. You know, Wesley Clark and Bill Clinton, both Rhodes Scholars. Obviously, they had a great cognitive, intellectual brilliance. Other people are physically brilliant. They have the ability to use their bodies in ways that are just absolutely extraordinary. They become great athletes. And there's actually a genius associated with that. And a large part of their brain is devoted to that. Other people have, and he goes through, Howard Gardner, he goes through these, seven different intelligences. And one of them is the interpersonal intelligence. The ability to make other people feel that you care about them and to bond with them and to be there for and get them to help. And part of me, you know, because I don't know George W. Bush personally, but I do know people who have met him, and I do know people who you know, you get these second and third hand reports. And either he is a brilliant, he's a genius at interpersonal relationships, even if he's incompetent at thinking things through logistically or logically. Either he's brilliant at interpersonal relationships, or because he's been the rich kid all his life, he's just used to having people suck up to him, you know, in hopes that some of it will rub off. And now he's the president of the United States, so everybody sucks up to him in hopes that it'll rub off. But in either case, he's very good at getting what he wants.
Two thoughts on that real quick. First of all, I've lived around rednecks, use that term, for years, and I know that they run hot and cold, so to speak, personality-wise. And another story we could go into, but I won't now. The other thing in closing time, I want to say, I live here in California, And I want to make one comment about the recall. It's not so much that I was against the recall. What upsets me is the people, again, picked flash over substance.
Yeah. Well, that's the unfortunate reality of our age, John, and that's why it's so important that we have, for example, the primary process, and that people tonight watch the primary debates among the Democratic candidates, because the reality is that we now, you know, Abraham Lincoln could have been a gawky, spindly guy who didn't particularly speak well and had a high, squeaky voice, but most people who knew what he said knew it because they read it in the newspaper. When the era of radio came along, we could have Franklin Roosevelt, who was a brilliant orator, but was paralyzed, and nobody realized it until after he left office. You know, he concealed it so well from people. But his appearance, you know, it wasn't as important as his voice. And so we went from, you know, the words to the voice. And now we have appearances important. So we have to, you know, the reality is that we need to find leaders who have the ability to project personal charisma the way that Bill Clinton did. Who have the intellectual capacity and compassion and understanding of the real issues. And Bill Clinton had it in some areas and completely missed the boat in others, in my opinion. And who you know, have a commitment to public service and are not just basically prostitutes for the big corporations. And hopefully the primary process is one that will filter that out. It didn't do it in California because there wasn't time for one. So, John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Music, we're up against the end of this segment. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the Democracy Zone. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
So you've graduated from college, got a new job, a new place to live, even a new dog, but you're still paying the same old high-interest student loans. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE, anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation, and we're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. Get on with your new life and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Show. We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard that says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Broadcasting from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, where it's an absolutely beautiful sunny day and the Green Mountains are turning yellow and orange and red and, oh boy, we are in full fall foliage here. Incredible. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to the Truth Zone. And Bill in Louisiana is on the line. He's got some thoughts on this topic of health care. Bill, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, how you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Bill?
Oh, pretty good. I just wanted to put my two cents in that when Hillary Clinton was trying to push for the give everybody an option of a one-payer system, I got all kinds of mail saying we got to stop this, we got to stop this. You know, my mailbox was running over, and I think Bush is just caving into right-wing interests, especially in health insurance field and all. And I feel that that because I learned this like when I was an undergraduate, that because health is like has an inelastic demand curve, people are going to have it no matter what and no matter what the price is. And it doesn't really fit the pull yourself up by the bootstraps capitalistic system. So I think we ought to get rid of the insurance. I don't like to hear the universal health insurance. I just want to hear universal health care. And I think Bush is just being pushed by all the very zealous right-wing interests in this.
Yeah, it's a single-payer system. In fact, what I'm going to do tomorrow is we're going to go through how the Canadian system works and how it could work here in America. But, Bill, in Louisiana, do you really think that George Bush is being pushed to oppose this stuff, or do you think that in his heart he really thinks it's wrong that government should be paying for people's health care?
He probably thinks it's wrong that it ought to be done privately. I think he said that people that can't take care of themselves ought to be taken care of privately through charity, that sort of thing. I believe he said that.
Yeah, yeah. Let the churches do it. And by the way, why don't we, the people, the government, give a few billion dollars to the churches? I mean, look at the tens, hundreds of millions of dollars now that this administration is passing out to the extreme right-wing conservative Christian churches in the United States, Falwell's organization in particular. Amazing. Well, I don't know how much Falwell is getting. I shouldn't say that. So let me withdraw that. But it's happened. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you for being with us so far today.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. As the House today takes up President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan, the debate over the bill is increasingly focused not just on the amount of money, but also who will get it. Of the $4 billion a month already being spent in Iraq, as much as a third is already going to private contractors. As many as 1 in 10 Americans deployed in Iraq and Kuwait, perhaps 20,000, are contractors, a group larger than any of the military forces. Members of Congress are worried that their oversight will diminish, cost controls will weaken, and decisions about security, training, and the shape of the new Iraqi government will be in the hands of people with financial stakes in the outcome. The White House and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld moved quickly on Wednesday to contain an unusual public breach over Iraq policy. A day after he testily told European reporters that he was not consulted before a reorganization intended to give the White House more control over the occupation of Iraq. Rumsfeld tried to dismiss any talk of his diminished role in Iraq policy, but that tone contrasted with his harsh language on Tuesday when he said President Bush had never discussed with him the creation of the Iraqi Stabilization Group set up by Condoleezza Rice. The FBI's chief point man in the campaign against terrorism is leaving to join a Las Vegas gambling empire less than 3 months after becoming the third-ranking official at the Bureau. Larry Mefford, head of the FBI's counterterrorism and counterintelligence operation, becomes the third person to leave that post in the last 14 months. No immediate successor was named. Mefford is retiring at the end of October after 24 years and will return to Nevada to assist Steve Wynn, the Las Vegas gambling magnate, in security and other operations. A federal corruption investigation was inadvertently exposed this week when a listening device was discovered in the City Hall office of Philadelphia Mayor John Street. The bug was found Tuesday during a sweep of Street's office by police, which is performed routinely every few months. Federal law enforcement sources said the office was bugged as part of an FBI anti-corruption investigation, but refused to elaborate further.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A British museum is facing a battle with the government over its plan to import a collection of handguns once owned by Elvis Presley. The museum wants to display the guns, but it has to prove it is complying with Britain's tough firearm laws. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You know, I actually used to take Tylenol.
but not anymore. Because now I get relief 15 minutes faster on tough pain with Advil Liquigels. Advil Liquigels actually rush relief 15 minutes faster. Now, how great does that sound? Imagine 15 wonderful, precious minutes faster. Now, why would I ever use anything else for pain relief? Advil Liquigels. 15 minutes faster.
With major corporations punting 200,000 American workers out the door every month, with middle-class wages being suppressed in every economic sector, from service jobs to high-tech, and with the consumer economy sputtering due to lack of public confidence that things will get better anytime soon, it's very reassuring to see the Congress step forward and intervene directly to pump new money into our economy by raising the wage floor. You say you haven't noticed any increase in your wages? Well, that's because you're not in Congress. Yes, by a bipartisan vote, our public servants have now lifted the wage floor for themselves by another $3,000 each. I say another because this is the fifth year in a row that these champions of fiscal integrity have hiked their own income at the expense of us taxpayers. In the past 5 years, their self-adjusting annual paycheck has risen more than $20,000, now reaching $158,000 per Congress critter per year. Of course, our so-called representatives can't even do this honestly and above board. Instead, they play a game called hide the pay raise. Here's how it's played. Years ago, Congress quietly snuck a provision into law that awards them an automatic cost of living raise every year, unless they vote each year to deny themselves the increase. As you might imagine, they've shown remarkable restraint in that regard, refusing to deny themselves a raise for 5 years in a row. Congressional leaders even insult our intelligence with absurd claims like this one by Dick Armey, the former Republican House Majority Leader. The Congress didn't vote themselves a pay raise. We just simply did not deny ourselves that normal increase in our cost of living that every other worker in America not only expects but insists upon. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I hear a doofus like Armey, I think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest?
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, a set of right-wing think tanks, or the RNC, or the DNC, for that matter. Here we are broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, on terrestrial radio stations broadcasting down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, and also on several different internet radio stations beaming all over the planet, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that at our website, tomhartman.com, along with a link to our chat room, which is full of folks having an interesting conversation at this moment. A lot of interesting economic news out here right now. In today's, it was yesterday's, I guess, Wall Street Journal. Indebtedness rises more than expected among Americans. U.S. consumer credit grew about $8.2 billion just in the month of August to a seasonally adjusted $1.956 trillion that we owe. And that doesn't include what we owe through our government that we owe. And then also Russia now is this in today's Moscow Times. Several of the websites are linking to it.
Russia is increasingly looking at pricing oil sales in euros. As I recall, Saddam was thinking about that just before we decided to take him out. Lots of strange stuff going on, interesting things in the economy. And we have, today, it's Thursday afternoon, and so it's our segment when we take a break from talking about politics and the news of the day, as it were, and dig deeper into a topic that you may not have thought about, you may not have known about, you may have thought you knew everything about, but you didn't. It's our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, introduced here by the Fire Sign Theater.
Know that you're wrong. But you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync.
And think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Well, maybe. We'll find out. Andrew Gauss, I believe it is the author of The Secret World of Money and Cooking the Books, as well as editor of the World of Money newsletter. Andrew, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Gauss.
Gauss, okay, yes. Great. G-A-U-S-C. And I'm assuming you have a presence out there on the Internet. You got a website you let our readers or listeners know about?
I do. The website is usgoldcoins.com.
usgoldcoins.com, pretty
yes.
Straightforward, easy to remember. I would assume then that you are an advocate of buying gold as a way of surviving these weird economic times.
Indeed, I think it's the only lawful money. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10. Right? No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender payment of debt. I don't see how you can misinterpret that. I know here in New Jersey they have us convinced that the right to bear arms means that you can wear a short-sleeved shirt. But gold and silver seems pretty specific to me.
Okay, Article 1.
Section 8.
Section what?
8.
Right.
Clause 10.
Clause 10. To define and publish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations.
Maybe Article 1, Section 10, Clause 8. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt. Prohibition.
Well, Article 10 only has 3 sections.
All right, forgive me. Let me go get it.
Here we go. You're talking about Section 10, Article 1. No state shall enter powers forbidden to the states. This is the kind of contradiction of the 10th Amendment. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts.
Article 1, Clause 10, yes.
Right. Pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or deny any title of nobility. Now, I'm assuming that you've gone through the various amendments to the Constitution since then. Has that not been reversed by amendment?
Couldn't find it. In fact, all that I can find is the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which I assume wouldn't supersede the Constitution. But that power was granted, taken away from Congress, effectively, assuming that it was prohibited to the states and left to the Congress.
And yeah, the act actually is the 16th Amendment. Which was ratified on February 3rd, 1913, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration.
Right. It didn't change the types of tax that could be collected, but it most certainly didn't vitiate that gold and silver clause that's in the body of the Constitution, not even an amendment.
Well, this is interesting. It's usually discussions like this are relegated to what is referred to as the fringe, and I'm sitting here with the Constitution in my hand, and looks to me like you're right.
Yeah, I've looked at this every way but Tuesday, and to me the only protection that an individual has is to not discharge their debts in Federal Reserve notes and not store their wealth in Federal Reserve notes, because the legal fiction here is that a Federal Reserve note for $20 is exchangeable for a $20 gold piece.
Well, no, it doesn't say that any longer on our currency. Richard
Indeed,
Nixon put an end
right.
to that.
That's right. So we sort of made our way from, okay, well, it's all right to do this because this note that's issued by this private bank is redeemable for the gold and silver coin that's called for in the Constitution, so it's all right that we're doing it. Everybody accepted the act, and then right. gave the power to the Federal Reserve, gave them the gold, and said, okay, you guys issue the notes against these
right,
gold
Fort
coins.
Knox and the whole thing. And it yeah. just made kind of sense, you know, because it's easier to carry paper around than a right. whole pocket full of gold.
Right, but the problem is that from 1913 to 1933, the Federal Reserve did exactly the thing that they weren't supposed to do. They issued more notes than they had gold coin. And so right. by 33, that promise to pay the gold coin was removed from the American citizen.
Well, and that's when Roosevelt started pulling in the gold.
Exactly. And from that point to this, we've been operating under this legal fiction that, you know, the $20 bill and the $20 gold piece are interchangeable. At law, they're the same item. And
well, I don't think we're operating under that legal fiction anymore.
Well, it's
Andrew.
Certainly not a practical truth, but it is a legal fiction. At law, there is no difference. And in fact, if you wanted to take a $20 gold piece into a bank and deposit it, then they would credit your account with $20 as though you deposited a $20 bill.
Right.
If you took a $20 gold piece to your county tax assessor and paid your taxes, he would deduct $20 from your bill. This is the legal fiction that those two items are interchangeable.
Well, you're stretching it there. I mean, that's a piece of currency. I mean, if you deposit a $10 bill, they're not going to say, hey, this piece of paper is only worth 0.3 cents to produce.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's the $20 gold piece says on it, this represents $20,
indeed.
And that's. I mean,
and,
you know, so we're splitting hairs there. I mean, let's not go down that road.
I like the Dick Armey explanation on the pay raise during the break there. I mean, it's the same thing. This is how it's explained to a person like me who asked the simple, innocent question, gee, doesn't the Constitution say that only gold or silver are to be used as money? How is it that we all accept these notes that are not redeemable for gold? And that's the answer that I get, that at law, there's no difference between that paper note and that $20 gold piece.
Who gave you that answer?
I think there's a huge difference. Indeed, there's a phenomenal difference between the two.
Well, I mean, this was, I remember when Nixon, you know, when we stopped saying silver certificates on our dollar bills and started saying Federal Reserve notes.
Right.
And that was, what, 74, 73,
yep,
something like that?
Summer of 73. It's happened, incidentally, on our watch. It's not like...
Yeah, I was running a small business when that happened, and I remember that, and I remember a whole lot of people getting all upset about it, and I had bought some gold and silver and saw gold just... I saw them go through the roof, and then lost my shirt on it. I mean, you know, it was like a $3,000 investment, but that was a big bucks back then for me, and it still is, but it's... but in any case, okay, we've got this situation. What do if you were somebody who was in our government defending the Federal Reserve system?
I mean, seriously,
what are these folks? How do they reconcile the fact that what the Constitution says and what we're doing are different?
Well, you know, they don't. The only explanation that I've gotten that makes any sense is the one that I've put forth. Short of that, we have put several lawsuits forward. One of the most famous, Goldman versus Federal Reserve in Atlanta, in which an individual went to the Federal Reserve with his $20 bill and said, hey, give me my $20 in gold, and he was greeted with another $20 bill. That case was dismissed. Any case that makes its way through the courts is sort of just brushed aside as though it's not important. The defense of the Federal Reserve system is that they're allowed to lean against the wind in tough economic times. The most glaring recent example was 9/11, when the terrorist attack shut down the financial network.
Also, isn't there the reality, Andrew, that there's not enough gold around to back up all the dollars in circulation right now?
Here, if you do, I'm not a math major, but I do know that there are 105 million ounces in the gold reserve. And I also know from the Federal Reserve's website that there is a total of $9 trillion in money. So
okay,
if you divide those two, a math major told me that the number is in excess of 11,000. I think it was 11,100 and change per ounce.
So that should be the actual value of an ounce of gold relative to the U.S. dollar if our currency was denominated on gold.
That's right.
Okay.
It's not that there isn't enough. It's just that the price is too low relative to the current value.
Yeah. Right, or that the value of our dollars are too low.
And I'm worried about that, as you made that little mention of the Russians deciding that perhaps they would rather be paid for their oil with euro.
I think they're looking at what George Bush is doing and going, wait a minute, this country is headed for bankruptcy. They're going to have to devalue their currency like Argentina did. And do we want to be, you know, holding a whole bunch of dollars when the European nations, what was it, just very recently, I think it was Denmark, they went over the 3% of GDP in debt limit, and they had to get a special exemption.
That's
because
right.
you can't have a national debt that exceeds 3% of GDP.
That's right.
And there's no such thing here. And so the rest of the, and now you've got these countries in the Arabian Peninsula who are issuing the gold dinars. They just started that, didn't they?
That's right. This is all, again, fresh, new stuff. And then the fourth factor that, to me, makes it a slam dunk why Americans should put some of their wealth in gold is that the Chinese, for the first time in 50 years,
they just
individuals are allowed to buy gold.
Right. They just legalized it. And it's a huge, and I think that all of these things in aggregate are why we've seen the price of gold in the United States go from in the 200, you know, the mid-200 region a year ago or 2 years ago up until, you know, it's pushing 400 now. It's around 375 yesterday, I think. It's been as high as 385 in the last few weeks,
indeed,
as I
and
recall.
When you consider the $11,000 actual division, there's a lot of room for upside in this equation.
Yeah, although, again, that depends on, that requires that anybody actually accept the fiction. I think we can say, regardless of what, the, you know, just like Ashcroft is trying to say, well, the Constitution doesn't really mean that we can't hold you without access to an attorney, you know, under the Patriot Act. Anyhow, Andrew, we've got to take a break here. We're talking to Andrew Gauz, editor of the World of Money newsletter. This is Tom Hartman on IE. We'll be right back.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Why do I have to get this cold sore scab now? I've got a job interview this week.
The embarrassment of a cold sore scab is as painful as the sore itself. Do something about it. Try new Campofenique cold sore treatment for scab relief. It's the only one that targets the scab with a special formula that provides maximum strength pain relief. Plus, it seals in moisture to help prevent cracking, to promote healing. Campofenique stops pain, promotes healing, ends embarrassment.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the radio support group of, by, and for We the People. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking in this hour with Andrew Goss, who is the author of The Secret World of Money, Cooking the Books, and The World of Money Newsletter. His website, usgoldcoins.com. And one of the folks in our chat room says, you know, this guy's hustling gold coins. Be wary. I think that, you know, we need to be up front that you have an interest in that. But beyond, going beyond that, let's, you know, I'd like to get into some of these topics. What is, in your opinion, the future of our economy? What is happening with our economy? Before we get to that, Andrew, though, we've got a call here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have a question for Andrew. 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Cincinnati has a question for you. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. I really enjoy your show. I have two quick questions. One, does the guest, is he aware of Robert Prechter's prediction for gold? Gold is down over $6 today. And secondly, a question for you, Mr. Hartman. Are you familiar with Mr. Prechter's predictions for the economy and just how dire he sees the future for our country?
Is he the guy who wrote that the book
Elliot
that?
Wade, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have read the book. Yeah.
Can I speak to that?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well,
yeah.
All of those charts that guy uses and all of the contra dif theorists follow this logic that things happen in waves. And the problem is that before the Monetary Decontrol Act of 1980, in fact, if you look at 1980, the year when Mr. Reagan took office, the total supply of what we call dollars was at $2 trillion. So every chart going back to however far you want to go never reflected more than $2 trillion in circulation. Today, a scant 23 years later, there are $9 trillion in circulation, an increase of over 400%. So this renders any charts completely meaningless if they incorporate data from before 1980. With all respect to Mr. Prechter, I do not believe he understands that with which he speaks.
Interesting. Okay. Joe, thanks for the call, and Andrew, thanks for the comment. Yeah, in your book, The Secret World of Money, you say, in fact, the Republican plan for balancing the budget, now this was in 1996, calls for allowing the debt to soar over $7 trillion by 2002, and we're pushing it. In fact, we've exceeded it now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Any lack of confidence from foreign quarters could trigger a bond sell-off, which would decimate the dollar's value. And we saw a little mini bond sell-off a month or so ago.
Right.
Are you suggesting that a deflationary depression is coming?
No.
A hyperinflationary period?
Yeah.
Yeah, hyperinflation.
Hyperinflation, because the world is holding reserve currency in dollars. In fact, two-thirds of all the world's trade is conducted in dollars.
Right.
The Chinese conducts 25% of its trade with the European community, yet stores only 2% of its reserves in euro. If they raise that figure to 10%, if the Russians decide they want to be paid for their...
Well, just a second. They couldn't, because they're receiving so many dollars, and our balance of trade deficits. We are buying stuff from them.
Right.
We're giving them dollars, and they are not then buying things from us. They're stuck with those dollars. So they're parking them in treasuries, or they're using them to buy things from other countries.
Right. Now, if they decide, okay, we're not going to hold these dollars anymore. We're just going to sell these dollars and buy euro. then those dollars naturally have to go into this market to compete. They're not going to be used as reserves anymore. Now they're going to be competing for the goods and services actually available. And our trade deficits, our balance of trade deficits, have been financed in large part by countries all over the world storing their wealth, their reserve currency, in dollars. And as these countries start deciding, well, maybe we'll buy a few euro, maybe we'll buy some gold dinar, maybe we'll store it in the currencies of other nations, then that lends less demand for dollars, which means inflation here at home.
Right, absolutely. And, boy, and it could happen so quickly. I mean,
I think the drop in gold, that $6 drop, and then the $16 drop on Friday, was relative to the jobs report. I mean, that took everyone by surprise. The economy that we thought was hemorrhaging jobs, that all economists expected would report a loss, in fact, produced 57,000.
Yeah, they think it's coming back.
Yeah.
Andrew, hang on. We've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. We're talking to Andrew Goss, editor of The World of Money. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 10,000 grocery store workers in the St. Louis metropolitan area are walking picket lines this week. United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655 voted by a more than 2-to-1 margin Monday to reject a contract offer and authorize a strike at nearly 100 St. Louis stores owned by three chains. Immediately after the vote, two of the chains locked out their workers. Meanwhile, seven UFCW locals in Southern California, representing 70,000 grocery workers at more than 850 stores, hold strike votes today and tomorrow. A walkout there could happen as early as Saturday.
After nearly 4 months spent walking picket lines, finally some good news for 130 striking workers at Chicago's Congress Plaza Hotel. The National Labor Relations Board filed a complaint this week against hotel managers, charging they illegally cut employee wages and failed to bargain in good faith. Last June, Congress hotel managers broke from a citywide labor agreement and unilaterally slashed employee compensation, cutting wages by 7% and effectively eliminating health coverage. If the Labor Relations Board finds in the union's favor, their walkout will be declared an unfair labor practices strike, meaning workers can't be replaced permanently. But Congress workers shouldn't expect relief anytime soon. A hearing isn't scheduled until February 10th.
What was once one of the largest employee-owned steel companies in the United States may leave 10,000 retirees out in the cold. West Virginia's Worton Steel filed for bankruptcy protection in May. This week it submitted a corporate reorganization plan. It calls for the layoff of 1,000 workers and the abandonment of the company's pension and insurance plans. The company is still negotiating the reorganization with the Independent Steelworkers Union and has until December 15th to finalize its proposal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. We're talking with Andrew Goss, the editor of World of Money, the Secret World of Money, the World of Money newsletter, and owner of the website usgoldcoins.com. And Andrew, in our chat room, a couple of folks wanted to know, what is hyperinflation? I've got some old German currency from the 30s around here someplace that I collected when I was in Germany. And
that's an example there.
Actually heard stories, you know, from people who lived through it. They're very elderly folks now. But I'm sure you have you can colorfully explain to people what it is that George W. and this administration, and it's not, I mean, you know, the Democrats are as complicit in this as the Republicans. The Congress is voting this stuff through,
right,
are setting us up for.
Yes. Well, textbook defined, it's greater than 20% inflation every year, so if something cost you a dollar in January and by December it cost you $1.20, technically that's hyperinflation. The last batch that we saw, 77 to 80, inflation was running greater than 20% per year. That was hyperinflation. So if you think back to 77 to 80, in which prices were rising rather rapidly and interest rates were rising right along with them, that would be the most similar bout to what I believe we're being set up for right now.
Now, what do you think? That was the end of the Carter administration, right?
Indeed, it was.
What do you think brought that about?
Well, the oil crisis, clearly. This was the first time that we, of course, closed the gold window in 73. And the country,
which was also the year of the Arab oil embargo.
Well, it was. And it had nothing to do with a shortage of oil. What it had to do with is, as you so well illustrated, I mean, why would these folks want to store dollars that are constantly being created? The bottom line is that they said, we want a dollar that's convertible to oil. So we had to have a bunch of sit-down and negotiations all through the 70s and come up with an understanding that we're going to continue to pay for oil with dollars, you're going to continue to accept them, and in exchange for that, we'll leave the House of Saud right where it is. And in fact, that deal was cut just in time for Mr. Reagan to stimulate the economy through his trickle-down theories, which were nothing more than diluting the monetary stock of the United States. I know it felt good, and it seemed as though we were doing fine, but if you look at the value of a dollar in 1980 versus the value of a dollar today, it was the most destructive pattern that he could have put on us.
Oh, yeah, and George Bush is doing the same thing. I mean, I'm back during the Reagan era. People would say to me, things are so good, you know, look at this. And I'd say, you give me a $1 trillion credit, you know, credit card with a $1 trillion limit on it, and that is in the name of my children, and they're going to have to pay off, and I'll show you living high.
You're absolutely right. And the only period of monetary stability in this country in the last 40 years is in the period from 1992 to 1995. If you look at that period, in 1992, we started the year with $4.1 trillion in total money. And by 1995, we had $4.3 trillion in total money. Acceptable monetary growth.
Interesting. Now, was that because of the conservative Congress, or was that because of Bill Clinton, or was that something that had nothing to do with politics, or was it the Fed? I mean, what caused that?
Well, you know, I think I want to say that it was caused by conservative fiscal policy at the administration level. But
in other words,
sure there
Bill Clinton was a fiscal conservative, right?
You know, it's hard to believe it, but yes, these are the facts. If you look at the money supply during his administration, you'll find a distinct lack of accelerating growth. But yet the minute Mr. Bush took office, suddenly we're doubling the money supply.
Now we're hell-bent for leather.
Exactly. So to me, I mean, it's very clear and obvious. As difficult as it is for the average person to get a mortgage, it seems to be very easy for the multinational corporation to create $100 billion and spend it into circulation.
So doing the math on this, I assume you've gone back and you've looked at other nations that have experienced hyperinflation and severe hyperinflation, like in Germany, where it literally would cost 1 million marks and then the next day 5 million marks to buy a loaf of bread, where people would get off work every day at noon. They would be paid at noon and they would be paid at 5 p.m. so that they could rush out and buy things because the cost of things would go up so much during those 5 hours that they were working.
Right, and they would buy whatever they could. They didn't care.
Right. Convert money into something physical. And ultimately it became a barter economy before it collapsed there.
And that was the ultimate end, though. That's the critical point, was a collapse of the country.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm sure that you've done the math on what the ratios were between public debt, national debt, and the current and the money supply. Where are we at? Is George Bush driving us towards something like the late 70s with hyperinflation, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22%, which is something that, is uncomfortable and painful but survivable?
Yes.
Or is he driving us into something that's going to be more like the German hyperinflation, where it was literally 10, 20, 30, 40% a day?
No, in fact, the former, because if you look at this statistically, which this is all a numbers game, what they understand on Capitol Hill is if they allow the money supply to grow from $9 trillion in 2003 to $27 trillion in 2013, then the $10 trillion that's going to be necessary for Social Security and Medicare will not be such a large component of the total money supply.
Right, although what it means to everybody who's getting Social Security and Medicare is right. That suddenly they're getting payments that don't buy anything.
Right, that are worth substantially less. Now, I know there was a comment made that I'm hustling gold. This is true. I think the only way to protect yourself is to buy gold, so I sell gold. You don't have to buy it from me, though. Just do yourself a favor and buy some.
Yeah,
gold.
But isn't that true of any solid commodity? I mean, isn't the lesson of this to not be in any kind of variable debt? Get
right.
rid of any adjustable rate mortgages and things like this. If you to get into fixed rate debt, if you're going to be in debt, because interest rates are going to go through the roof, and paying off fixed rate debts is going to be a good deal for people.
I'm in. Yeah.
I remember my father bought a house in the 1950s, and he had a 2.5-3% mortgage.
Right.
And the 25th year of that thing was in the 70s, and they were desperately trying to get him to
yeah.
roll it over.
Right.
No, I'm going to pay this off at 2%. Thank you very much. So get into fixed rate debt and put your wealth in things that are convertible. Gold being
yeah.
something that's convertible, but also, owning your own house, paying off your home.
Right. Buying a second piece of property or buying another tangible item. I like gold only because it's portable, it's liquid, and all the little benefits that attach to it, such as an
And you don't pay property tax on it.
You don't pay property tax. It never calls you at night and tells you that the plumbing is bad. But there are other things. You're right. Old, antique motorcycles, old automobiles, paintings.
What about oil stocks?
Well, I don't like stocks in general, only because the moment that they start making money, the board of directors needs a new Learjet, and everybody gets a raise, and the last person that makes any money is the shareholder. So I'm right. totally opposed to any scheme whereby you don't hold physical items, because I believe that if they have a way to steal it from you, they will. And so you're much better off, in my view, to hold physical possession, gold and silver, platinum, any of the commodity metals, anything that you can put your own hands on and take responsibility for storing fits well in my book. But for me, the number one thing is the monetary stock of the United States, which I'm a firm believer in the Constitution like you, Tom, and I think that the Constitution is specific, the Coinage Act is specific, the monetary stock of the United States still exists. It was minted from 1792 right up till 1964, and you can get your hands on it by just converting your Federal Reserve notes right into the monetary stock.
Well, we're making gold coins again, aren't we?
Yeah, we started again in 1986. That's right.
Yeah,
And you can buy them right from the Treasury, currently issued. The only
although you pay a huge premium
right.
over buying K-Rands or Maple Leaves or something like that. 1-800-TALK-YES
right.
is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Pete in Tampa, Florida has a question for you. Andrew, we're talking to Andrew Goss, the editor of The World of Money. Oh, Pete has dropped off. I'm sorry, Pete. I didn't notice that you were there for a while. I'm not sure how long you were holding.
Hey, Tom,
we have lost Pete.
Can I offer a free sample to your listeners?
Free sample of gold?
Oh, yeah, right. I'd go bankrupt
for it.
In a hurry. But the newsletter, I would be honored. In fact, I've just published two, but the one that fits in most with what you were talking about is Saddam's Revenge. When you said Saddam decided to price his oil in euro just moments before we liberated Iraq, that
right.
is more important, I think, than anyone realizes. And that, I think, is the real motive behind this entire incursion. I've laid that all out in a newsletter I'll make available free to your listeners called Saddam's Revenge. Call 800-468-2646. Just mention that you heard it on the Tom Hartman Show, and you'll get it free, the newsletter, World of Money. That's 800.
Okay, along with a sales pitch, no doubt.
Not if you don't want one. Yeah, no, if you don't want look, if you don't want gold coins, just say I don't want any gold coins.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Andrew, a couple of questions come to mind here. One is that I was in Asia when the currency crisis hit. And at first, nobody really realized what was going on.
Mm.
And you travel around now in Thailand, and in Thailand in particular got very badly hit. But I was also in South Korea. In fact, my wife and daughter were with me in Taiwan for a while during that time, and are your youngest. And it turns out that one of the things that brought this about, I mean, part of it was multinational corporations noticing that as these economies that had basically been sources of cheap labor for companies that wanted to move their manufacturing out of the United States, that as their economies grew, their labor started saying, hey, we'd like to form unions, we'd like to have health care, we'd like to have vacations, we'd like a little more pay. And China came along and said, hey, we'll give you free people, you know, we'll give you prison slave labor if you want. And so there was this mass exodus. But at the same time, there was also this guy, George Soros. And he wasn't the only one, but apparently he was the biggest one, who was looking at the currencies of these countries and saying, it looks to me, now tell me if I'm oversimplifying this, I'm sure I'm oversimplifying it, but if I have it factually wrong, because this is just my understanding of it from reading the financial press at the time, and I'm not a scholar of this stuff, but basically Soros looked at this and said, these countries, their manufacturing base is now starting to go to China. Their net worth as a nation no longer is appropriately proportionate to the number of Thai baht that are in currency or Taiwanese dollars or whatever the currency is there in Taiwan. I forget. And therefore, he bought up a whole bunch of, or he speculated on their currency and his speculation of buying up and quickly selling their currency, and that caused the currencies to collapse. That's
pretty cogent right there.
Okay.
In fact, I called him the IMF's bulldog.
Right. Now, so isn't the dollar just an accident waiting for a George Soros to happen right now?
Absolutely correct. And in fact, if you look at what happened in the Far East there, all of that was preceded by statements from the International Monetary Fund saying, you know, your GDP ratio to your total debt is too high. And
just 2 weeks ago, the IMF warned the United States for the first time in history.
Now, if we don't heed that warning, you bet the bulldogs will attack our currency and prove to us that we do, in fact, have a problem.
The political question then is George Bush teetering on the edge of a disaster that he can hold off until November 2004? And if he loses this election and some Democrat gets in, and then this stuff, you know, we fall off the edge, who's going to be remembered as Herbert Hoover? Which party's going to take the fall for this?
Exactly the point. You know, that is exactly the point. Every sane Democrat should run away and not even put their hat in the ring and just let this man have the next 4 years to just go ahead and show America the true state of this economy. Because what you're outlining is exactly what my worst fear is, that in 2004, a different party gets into the White House, Democrats, Libertarians, whomever, and they'll be the ones that will be faced with the blame for the collapse of the U.S. dollar. And that's what I see nothing less than the dollar losing about half of its value in the next 5 years.
Right, which means doubling the price of gold and everything
and
else.
And everything else, yeah. Your real
estate. And those people on fixed investments, fixed incomes being in terrible trouble, and on it goes. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. We got a couple of callers here for you, Andrew. Chris in Salt Lake City has a question. Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
A quick question. Probably been asked before a million times, but where do you see silver in the picture?
Okay. You know, because of, it's all supply and demand, because of the tremendous strain on the silver supply-demand equation, relative to the amount of silver used in the photographic industry, I don't see silver keeping pace with gold and platinum.
Although the photo industry is changing very rapidly, they're moving all to digital. I mean, Kodak has just in the last 6 months came out with a whole statement about how they're refocusing their entire business. HP is moving into this, so the amount of silver.
Everybody's going digital. Yeah.
Yeah, so the amount of silver that's used is diminishing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And this huge imbalance, because now this tremendous demand was the number one demand for silver throughout the world, was in the photographic industry. Now this dynamic shift, which eliminates silver's demand, it's going to take
a while. So the price of silver is going to collapse.
Yeah, it's going to take, it has, and it's going to take quite a while to absorb, where silver, with that very same circumstance, should be about $7 an ounce. In fact, with this loss of demand from the photographic industry, it's drifted below $5, and I see it just staying there for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Silver, Jim in Kalamazoo has a question in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We're on with Andrew Goss.
Yeah, this is Kalamazoo Jim. I'm up in Michigan for a change.
Oh, hey, Kalamazoo Jim.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about inflation. I can remember, I was in the record business for a long time, and I can remember Nixon and the wage price controls.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All the record companies, all the companies there, they just kind of reinvented their product and reissued them at whatever price they wanted, but everybody's wages were frozen. And then Gerald Ford comes along, and he's handing out these quip inflation now buttons that said win on them.
Right.
Yep. All this crap here, Jimmy Carter got the blame for it. Well, I've got a question here. How about Vietnam? That have anything to do with inflation?
It had a lot to do with inflation. If you look at those 30-year bonds that we issued back during the Vietnam War, we didn't want to pay for it out of the current spending because then Americans would feel the pain that the soldiers felt. So what we did is we bonded the entire war, and 30 years later, it all comes due. So great.
As we're doing again!
And we're doing it again. That's right.
So incredible.
Now you see why I, quote, hustle gold, because I believe the only protection is gold. You can't have faith in these guys, that's for sure.
I'm not convinced that hustle is necessarily a bad word there, Andrew.
Thanks.
Okay. It's how do you really think that we've got about 20 seconds here left to wrap this up, Andrew. I'm wondering, do you think that George W. can hold this thing off until November?
Indeed. I think the formula is in place. The powers that be have pretty much decided easy money between now and then. Easy money means it feels good. We're drinking now. We're not feeling the hangover until after the November election, and that's my fear. So batten down the hatches and salt in the gold. I think that's the only way to protect yourself.
Okay. Andrew Goss, editor of the World of Money newsletter, usgoldcoins.com. Andrew, thank you very much for being on our program today on our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
Thank you, and free copy of the newsletter, 800-468-2646.
There you go. Okay, thanks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hey folks, John Madden here to tell you about the October Best Buys at Ace Hardware. Come in today and get Ace Royal Touch Satin Wall and Trim Paint for only $16.99 a gallon, our lowest price of the year. Backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and a 25-year warranty, the Ace Royal Touch Satin is great for kids' rooms and other heavy-use areas. Plus, the helpful folks at Ace can help you match over 1,400 colors. So hurry into your local Ace Hardware throughout the month of October. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus a 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at Toyota.com/owners.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aw.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Father Coughlin in the 1930s predicting great problems coming.
And there's an accounting to be held, an accounting that shall make the depression of 1929 seem as a prosperity when it breaks upon you.
Yes, and our last guest saying similar things, I think. Hyperinflation coming. What do we do? Well, if you have variable rate mortgages, change them, no matter what it costs, to fixed-rate mortgages. That's all the economists I've talked to, of all the people that I know who are savvy about economics and everything that I've read, right now interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low as long as George Bush can keep them that way so that he'll get reelected in November of 2003, and then they are going to go through the roof. We are going to see 10, 15, 20, 30% inflation, just as Jimmy Carter did as a result of the policies of Richard Nixon and Gerry Ford. Carter inherited that inflation. And somebody is going to inherit the inflation that George Bush is causing right now by spending money that he doesn't have. And when that inflation happens, interest rates go up, and if you've got a variable rate mortgage, look out. Look out. So the best, you know, positive news that I can offer is number one. And number two, notice that this is happening. A weak dollar is the dollar. You know, you see, everybody, they're trying to keep the dollar afloat. There's this big concern right now about the Chinese and because they tied their currency to the dollar, and they're doing it in this kind of funny way. There's this game the Chinese are playing with their currency, and there's a whole thing here that I have from the Wall Street Journal about it, which we don't have time to get into right now. But the bottom line is that Bush is saying, okay, we're going to weaken the dollar. Remember Jon Snow talking down the dollar? We're going to weaken the dollar internationally. We're down to like €1.15. Last time I checked, a couple of weeks ago, and that'll make our exports cheaper, imports more expensive, so it'll slow down the balance of trade problem. The problem is, though, that a lot of people who are holding our debt are saying, "Wait a minute, the dollar's not worth as much anymore. My bonds aren't worth as much anymore." This could be a big problem. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Joe McPherson and Louise Hartman produced our program. And Steve Dam Schroeder and Steph Stryker engineered it in Detroit. Join us tomorrow, same time, same place.
A war against disorder from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.